Take our Bibles and turn to the book of 1 Kings, 1 Kings chapter 18 this morning. 1 Kings chapter 18. Our yearly theme is based upon revival, that God would revive us, and God promises to revive the heart of the spirit of the humble and revive the heart of the contrite ones. Now, our monthly theme is that God would revive our devotional life, that during the course of this month, that your heart will be encouraged to walk with God as never before. So the title of my sermon this morning is, Revive My Devotional Life, O Lord. Revive My Devotional Life, O Lord. 1 Kings chapter 18. In verse number 36 it reads, And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Let's bow for prayer. O God, we pray that you will teach us from your word this morning. O God, revive our devotional life, we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask. Amen. Elijah, the prophet of God, has just had a mountaintop experience on Mount Carmel, here in chapter 18, where he calls down fire from heaven and has the false prophets of Baal slain. And we see that in verses 37 to 40, it reads, Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces. And they said, The Lord, He is the God. The Lord, He is the God. And Elijah said unto them, Take the prophets of Baal, let not one of them escape. And they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and slew them there. What a mountaintop experience for Elijah there on Mount Carmel. Now, as we move into chapter 19, with that background in mind, as we move into chapter 19, we read that Ahab, that is King Ahab, tells his wife Jezebel what has just happened. In verse 1 it reads, And Ahab told Jezebel. Our wives need to be told, otherwise they will find out. So Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain the prophets with the sword. So Ahab tells his wife Jezebel what has just taken place. How Elijah called fire down from heaven and the prophets of Baal were attended to put it mildly. In verse number 2, we read that Jezebel reacts. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them, by tomorrow about this time. Jezebel is very upset that all of her prophets have died. Very upset. So she reacts by sending a message to the prophet Elijah that has not long ago called fire down from heaven, and those watching on declared that the God of Elijah is the true and living God. He is the true and living God. So Jezebel, the king's wife, reacts by sending a message to Elijah and said, in essence, I will have you killed, Elijah, by this time tomorrow. I will have you killed. How does Elijah respond? Not like we would have expected. Considering what he has just seen God do. In the third verse it reads, and when he saw that, he arose and went for his life, and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. Elijah runs for his life. He's so discouraged, fearful, so low that he makes a surprising request of God in verse 4. The third verse tells us that he runs for his life. And note verse 4, but he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree and requested for himself that he might die, and said, it is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. So Elijah runs for his life. He is so discouraged. He is so low that he makes this surprising request. Elijah the prophet has hit an all-time low spiritually. He experienced an all-time high not that long ago, but now he hits an all-time low spiritually, to the point that he asks of God, God, please, will you take my life? Will you take away my life? So technically, he does not consider suicide. He doesn't take his own life. He asks God to take his life. Bit of a difference. Nevertheless, not good. Not good. God, kill me, in other words, he said. I'm ready to go to heaven. Why? Because I'm fearful and discouraged that Ahab's wife Jezebel wants to kill me. Now, it's not a nice thought to have to know of somebody that wants to kill you. I'd imagine you wouldn't feel good about yourself if you knew that somebody was out to kill you. So we see in the life of Elijah here despair conceded. We find him in the depth of despair. Elijah is mentioned a number of times in the New Testament. And in the general epistle of James, chapter 5, verse 17, he is described as a man of like passions. Elijah was not superhuman. He had a fleshly nature, just like You have a fleshly nature, and I have a fleshly nature. Elijah had his high times, and now he is having a low time. This is a very low time for Elijah, the prophet, the man of God. The one that once called down fire from heaven, where he prayed in the midst of the multitude, and God literally answered his prayers. And everybody cried out what Elijah was trying to propagate. God is real. God is alive. And Elijah's God is the true and living God. And because he is the true and living God, he is worthy of our worship. So from that high point, his life is threatened. He runs for his life. And he asks God to take away his life. Not long ago, he asked God to send fire down from heaven. And God answered that prayer. Now he's asking God to take away his life. Elijah had his high times, had his low points. This is a low point for Elijah the prophet. So likewise, we all have our high times, do we not? And our low times. Am I right or not? And everything in between. We have our highs, we have our lows, and a variation of all in between. Elijah was in need of revival. Elijah was in need of revival on a personal level. Elijah was in need of revival in his walk with God, his devotional life. Oh God, revive my devotional life. By that we are referring to your walk with God, my walk with God. And Elijah is so low. His heart is full of discouragement and fear, at least. And he wished that God would hear his prayer, God, take away my life. He was in need of revival. We have our high points, we have our low points. And maybe at this time you are experiencing a high point. Enjoy it while it lasts. Because that low point might be just around the corner. We see that Elijah conceded to despair. And you and I, as God's people, when we go through those low points, we need to be discerning that we are low. How do we know when we are in need of revival personally? Well, we see here in the life of Elijah some glowing signs of in need of revival personally. Number one, according to the third verse, he reacted to his circumstances instead of responding spiritually. Did he not react? What did he do? The Bible teaches us that he went for his life. We use the term, He ran for his life. You can blame Elijah for that turn. He went for his life. He reacted to his circumstances instead of responding biblically, spiritually to his circumstances. Because not long ago, he prayed and fire came down from heaven. Now, what's that with this bloke? Talk about a short memory. Oh. But the Bible teaches us he's a man of like passion. We can be guilty of doing so, doing the same. How do we know that we need to be revived spiritually when we are reacting to our circumstances instead of responding biblically, spiritually? Now, we would say Elijah should have simply said, upon hearing the notice from Jezebel, "Who does she think she is? I serve the Lord God Almighty. He can protect me. I will not fear what man will do unto me. I fear God." That would have been a biblical response. But no, he went for his life. He reacted. And that's often what we do, do we not? When you are reacting to your misfortunes, it could well be that you are not responding biblically, and therefore you are in need of revival. And also verse number 4, how do we know that we need to be revived spiritually? Well, we see that Elijah reacted to circumstances. Verse number 4, he was certainly not thinking or talking biblically, was he? He said, "God, take my life." That's not good thinking. That's not good conversation. He was not thinking or talking biblically. He was thinking, talking according to how he felt, not biblically. And then we go on to verse number 5, another sign that Elijah was in need of reviving in his personal devotion and walk with God. Look at verse number 5. As he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, "Arise and eat." It would seem from verse number 5 that Elijah also lost his motivation. Now, up until Mount Carmel, Elijah was on the go for God. But we don't see it here in verse number 5, that he lay and slept under a juniper tree. And when you are in despair, when you are low, we often find ourselves not motivated, and we tend to want to just sleep. Loss of motivation, not thinking, talking biblically, reacting. And obviously he wasn't taking care of himself, because God said to him in verse number 5, "Arise and eat." He wasn't having breakfast, lunch and dinner. He wasn't looking after himself physically. He wasn't feeding himself physically, let alone spiritually. How do we know when we are in need of revival personally? Are we reacting to our circumstances? How is our thinking, our conversation? How's our measure of motivation? Are we feeding ourselves? Are we looking after ourselves physically, let alone spiritually? When was the last time you read your Bible? See, when you are low spiritually, you tend to lose motivation. And that's exactly what Elijah gives the evidence of. In verse number 10, he also has a personal pity party. Look at verse 10. When God asked him the question, "What doest thou here? What are you doing here, Elijah?" Hiding in a cave. Verse 10, he said, "I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altar, slain thy prophets with a sword. And I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away." He has a pity party. He has a pity party. "I'm the only one left, God. There's no more hope. I'm the only one left that is standing up for righteousness. I'm the only one left that honors you." Can you see the pride in Elijah? "I'm the only one." So Elijah was in need of revival on a personal level because he was reacting to his circumstances. He wasn't thinking, let alone talking biblically. He lost all motivation. He wasn't looking after himself physically, let alone spiritually, and he was having a pity party. He felt sorry for himself. And if you and I are to be revived on a personal level, we need to be discerning. We need to be discerning as to where we are really at. And beyond that discernment, we admit, "Yes, Lord, I need revival on a personal level. We need some holy determination." How do we revive our devotional life with the Lord? How do we revive our walk with God? It begins by making a decision to return to the Lord once again. That's where we begin. And we see the principle there in verse number 8, please. Chapter 19 of 1 Kings, it reads, "And he arose and did eat and drink, and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto" where? "Horeb, the Mount of God." How do we revive our walk with God? It begins by you and I making a decision to return to the Lord. It reads in verse number 8 that Elijah went up to Mount Horeb. We need to get back to where we are with God once again. We need to return to the Lord, in other words. Now, Mount Horeb is the ancient name for Mount Sinai. Elijah travels 40 days to get to the Mount of God, to get to Mount Sinai. Remember, he's beyond Beersheba, down south. So he makes the effort to go to Mount Sinai, where God revealed himself to Moses and the Israelites, and where God entered into a covenant with his chosen people. See, the Bible teaches us if we seek God, we will find him. If we seek God with all of our hearts, we shall find him. And if you and I are to be revived on a personal level spiritually, we need to make a decision. It's time now to return back to God. Amen. Where you and I take personal responsibility. You have the ability to respond as a blood-bought child of God. You have the Holy Spirit within you, and you can respond to God in the power of God's Spirit. Elijah traveled 40 days to get to the Mount of God. He made a decision to return back to God. That's where it begins, where you make a decision. And in making that decision to return to the Lord, verse number 9 tells us that we need to spend quality time with God alone. Look at verse number 9. Upon reaching Horeb, the mount of God, verse 9, he came thither unto a cave and lodged there. Get alone with God. Once you've made that decision to return to the Lord, get alone with God, where you can hear God, not your mobile phone. Leave your mobile phone on the charger. Walk away from your mobile phone. Leave it on the charger and go to your closet. Get alone with God. Upon arriving at one of the mountains within that Sinai range, Elijah enters into a cave where he takes refuge. Here he is alone. And it's no surprise that he hears God loud and clear. And if you want to be revived in your personal walk with God, Christian, you need to make a decision to return back to God. And in returning back to God, you need to get alone with God. Our Lord Jesus called this entering into your closet, Matthew 6:6. And while you are alone with God, listen carefully as God speaks. The second part of verse 9, it reads, "Behold, the word of the Lord came unto him and said unto him, What doest thou here, Elijah?" Listen carefully as God speaks to you. While you are alone with God, give him your undivided attention. God speaks to you and I through the pages of the Word of God. Note the question God asked Elijah, "What doest thou here?" Elijah, what are you doing here? God challenges him as to why and where he is at. And beloved, you and I need to be prepared to not only hear from God, but to be challenged from God. So therefore, we need to get alone with God. Without that mobile phone in sight. Without the distractions of the kiddies. Or the spouse. Or the traffic. Or the computer screen. Or whatever it might be. That's a distraction and reminds you of the world. You need to get away from that. And ask God, "God, show me. Lead me to a closet. Where I meet with you alone. Where I can hear from you, God, alone. And beyond hearing from God, where I'm prepared to be challenged by you, God." Listening carefully while you're alone with God. The question was asked, "What doest thou here?" And then verse number 10, as we have read, Elijah shared his heart with God. Elijah felt like he was the only one left behind. He was honest before God. And in making a decision to turn back to God, and thereby getting alone with God and listening to God and allow God to challenge you from the Word of God, you and I need to be honest before God. Elijah's honest before God. Elijah is honest before God.
He shares his feelings. He shares his hurts. I'm sure he must have felt hurt to think that somebody wanted to kill him. That the king's wife wanted to kill him. How would you feel? I don't imagine you'd feel too good. You might feel a little bit hurt that so-and-so wants to kill me. He must have felt hurt. He felt alone. He felt discouraged. And if you and I want to be truly revived in our walk with God, we need to be honest with God. We need to share our honest feelings with God. There's 150 chapters in the Bible, in a book called the Psalms, where the authors within that book, predominantly King David, shares his heart, does he not? Shares his high points, shares his low points, shares when he's feeling angry, when he's feeling revengeful, shares his guilt. Everything just opens up. And it's no surprise to us that David is known as a man after God's own heart. And if you and I really want to be revived in our personal walk with God, we need to be honest with God. God, this is honestly how I feel. I really don't like so-and-so. I need your help. I'm really struggling with so-and-so. I'm really struggling with this. God, I don't understand why you allowed this in my life. Why me, God? Why not my neighbor? Why is it that all bad things happen to me? How is it he's successful in enjoying his job? I'm not successful in enjoying my job. Be honest with God. Be honest with God, and God will bless you. If you and I will be transparent before the God of the heavens, guess what? He knows. He already knows. He just needs you and I to confess. That encompasses what? Humility. Lord, I'm struggling. I'm really struggling to maintain a right attitude. Honest before God. Elijah said, I feel like I'm alone. I feel defenseless. How can I possibly compete with the ungodliness that prevails all around me? Elijah felt like he was a failure, felt helpless. Then we read on verse number 11. With this honesty, what does God do? What did God say? He said, go forth. Go forth. Elijah, take those initial steps towards spiritual renewal. Go forth. It's those little steps that we take, Christian, that can be the very steps that will lead to revival. Little steps, go forth, said God to Elijah. Stand upon the mount before the Lord. Go forth. Moses had seen those mountains centuries before. Moses saw the presence of God there on Mount Sinai. And Elijah would have known that. He would have known about Moses. He would have known about what Moses had experienced. And here he is on that same mount. of which Moses experienced the very presence and power of God that he experienced on Mount Carmel. And God said, go forth, Elijah.
Take those steps of obedience. Those little steps of obedience. Now, what little steps do you need to take in order to revive your personal walk with God? I encourage you this morning, take those little baby steps towards God. Because little steps come before big steps, do they not? Little steps come before big steps. And our children learning to walk, they take little steps, but very quickly they become bigger steps. Then they run before you know it. Take those little steps, and that little step for you might be simply to set that alarm of yours half an hour earlier. Amen. And make time to walk with God. Little baby step. Work backwards. I need this much time for shower and coffee. I need this much time to get out the door. And I need this much time with God. Set your alarm accordingly. That might be the little baby step that you can implement that will radically change your life. Go forth, God said to Elijah. Then we read on in verse 11. You still with me? Look at this. And behold, the Lord passed by. So God said to Elijah, come on, come out of the cave. Just stand at the mouth of the cave. Look out from the cave. Come out. Take that little step. You're in the cave. Get up and come to the mouth of the cave. Look out. And the Bible says in verse 11, and the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains, divided the mountains, and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. Wow! What's going on? No doubt, Elijah thought. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, an earthquake. Here's Elijah standing at the foot of the cave. These mountains split in two and rocks exploding. And then he feels an earthquake. And the Bible says the Lord was not in the earthquake. Verse 12, and after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. I can imagine Elijah's probably a little bit overwhelmed. He's told to get up and stand at the foot of the cave, and he sees mountains split in two, and he sees rocks explode, and he feels an earthquake, and he sees fire. And God's not in the above. Then verse 12 goes on to read, but the Lord was not in the fire, and after the fire, a still small voice. And it was so. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, what doest thou, Elijah? So God was not in the wind, God was not in the earthquake, God was not in the fire, but a still small voice. See, bigger is not always better. Louder is not always heard. It was that still small voice where God spoke to him in that solitary moment. And as you take that baby step to spend time with God alone, God will speak. God will speak. And once again, God asked him the question while he stood there at the entrance of the cave, "What doest thou here, Elijah?" The end of verse 13. And once again, Elijah shed his heart. Even though he accepted that God was still going to work, Elijah still felt like he was alone. It's so critically important that we track our thinking, not so much our feelings. Our thoughts are tangible, but our emotions are fluid, they're changeable, they're difficult to pin down. We need to replace our thinking with biblical thinking, and then the right emotions will come. See, God spoke in an unexpected way. It wasn't the fire, it wasn't the earthquake, it wasn't the dividing of the mountain or the explosion of the rocks. It was a still small voice. God might speak to you in ways that you would not have expected. And that can be the very means of revival. And then last but not least, verses 15 to 17, basically, God said to Elijah, get back to serving. Get back on track. Get back on track where you got off track. Verses 15 to 17. Note then verse 15, go, return on thy way. That's the key phrase. And God gives him three assignments. I want you to anoint King Hazael. I want you to anoint King Jehu. And I want you to anoint Elisha, your successor. Return on thy way. In other words, Elijah, get back on track. Get back on track where you got off track. And that's good advice for you and I this morning. If we're in need of revival on a personal level, we need to get back on track where we got off track. Get back to work, Elijah. I want you to anoint Hazael, and I want you to anoint Jehu, and I want you to anoint Elisha, the next prophet. Get back on track where you got off track. Because it's going to be through these three men that God will complete, purge Israel of Baal worship. So God had a purpose for Elijah. And in God anointing these two kings and the next prophet, God will finally purge Israel of Baal worship. Return on thy way. The Lord Jesus said in Revelation 2, verses 4 and 5, repent and do the first works. This was the counsel given to the church that had left its first love. Get back on track. In verse number 18, God set Elijah straight once and for all, and informed Elijah that there were 7,000 others that have not bowed the knee to Baal. Elijah, you're not alone. See, things are never as bad as what we think they are. Right? Things are never as bad as what we think they are. Let me ask you this morning, how is your walk with God? Are you in need of revival in your personal walk with God? As God revived Elijah, you and I can be revived in our personal walk with God. It begins by you and I making a decision, number one. Number two, getting alone with God. Number three, listening to God carefully. Number four, being honest with God. Number five, obeying God. Take those little steps. Number six,
Be mindful that God might speak to you in ways that you do not expect. And last but not least, number 7, get back on track where you got off track. Revive my devotional life, O Lord. Elijah was in need of personal revival. Are you in need of personal revival? God revived Elijah. God can revive you. But it begins with you and I making a decision to come back to God, to make the effort to go up to Mount Horeb. Go back to God. So I challenge you this morning, get back to God. How is your personal walk with God? Are you just going through the motions? Maybe you're not even doing that. God revived Elijah. God can revive your life. Let's bow for prayer.